Being a farmer is one of the most dangerous occupations you can choose in America. According to our guest today, farmers are nearly twice as likely to die on the job as police officers are, five times as likely as firefighters, and 73 times as likely as Wall Street bankers.
And efforts to increase safety regulations or investigate deaths have been met often with fiery opposition.
Ian Colgren joins us now. He's a labor and immigration reporter for Politico, where he wrote a piece called Your Farm is Trying to Kill You. Ian, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, Ian, in your words, just how dangerous is farming?
Really, really dangerous, which I was pretty amazed to learn as I researched for this piece. As you mentioned, I mean, I think the comparison that you just mentioned says it best. I mean, farmers are nearly twice as likely to die as police officers, five times as likely to die as firefighters. And really, for many people in rural America who work on farms and know people who work on farms, injuries and death is something that kind of touches everybody, considering there are so many accidents and so many people are killed each year.
I have a sense of the dangers that police officers and firefighters might face, but what kinds of injuries and accidents are most common on farms?
Yeah, well, you know, the short answer is all kinds of accidents. As a farmer, if you think about it, every day you're working constantly with very, very dangerous machinery. There are a lot of different accidents and ways people are killed on farms. The biggest by far, though, is simply by tractor rollovers. Tractor rollovers account for about a third of all farm deaths in the country every year. And it's simply because most tractors are old and don't have rollover protection devices. And so when a tractor rolls, it can crush the person who's driving it. And to make matters worse, many farmers, you know, are operating this machinery, oftentimes alone, out in a field where no one will find them for hours if they could have survived. And, you know, it's difficult to get an ambulance out there in time to really save people. So it's a number of circumstances, you know, that involve just the dangerous work and the isolation that really, really put farmers at risk of death.
You talked about tractors, and it's an interesting one because the safety mechanisms exist. Modern tractors have them, this rollover bar, and some tractors also have enclosed cabs that protect the driver. So why aren't we seeing, you know, a dramatic decrease in tractor accidents?
Yeah, that's a great question. All tractors today, as you mentioned, all new tractors that are produced are required to have rollover protection devices by law. Those can be full-fledged cabs. The wheel structure is more stable on newer ones. But the problem is that farmers, unlike your car, which, you know, is pretty much dead in a decade, farmers can keep tractors for decades. And many, many tractors on farms are, you know, 30, 40, sometimes even 50 years old on these farms. And farmers who are, as I mentioned in the story, a frugal bunch, really know how to replace the machinery or the parts in their tractors. And so they end up keeping these things around for a really, really long time. So because of that reason, most of the farms or the tractors on farms in America today are very, very old and therefore more dangerous. Now, there are other countries such as Sweden and many other European countries, for example, that actually require every old tractor to be retrofitted with a rollover protection device. And by all accounts, by the studies I've read about that, those laws are actually very, very effective. There hasn't been a ton of research on it, but the preliminary research that has been done shows they're pretty effective.
You write, though, that there is a very active resistance to adding regulations to farms, and that in general, farmers themselves do not want additional regulations, even if it might be a safety regulation. Why is that?
That is absolutely true, and the answer I think is really multifaceted, right? I mean, I think if you step back and kind of look at it from a cultural perspective and a 30,000 foot view, there has always been kind of this uncomfortable tension between the federal government and farmers. Farmers are very by nature, their culture and their, you know, belief system is very self-reliant and independent. And the last thing that many of them want are, you know, OSHA inspectors coming onto these onto their land, you know, especially land that's been handed down through generations, and you know, the certain traditions of farming and how you do things has passed down, been passed down for through generations. Many farmers don't want the federal government coming onto their land and telling them what to do, even if it might save them. And to that end, really, the agriculture lobby in Washington has always been and still is extremely, extremely powerful. That goes all the way back to 1935 for the National Labor Relations Act, which exempted agriculture workers, and as did the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act, that also exempted farm workers. So there's really been this tradition of exempting farmers from workplace safety requirements. And, you know, a lot of that also, part of the reason that lobbying effort has been successful is because that farms are small businesses and don't employ that many people. So I think there's this fear that farmers are already, especially with crop prices being as low as they are, operating on such thin margins that any additional regulation or any burden that you would put on them could force more out of business.
We're talking with Ian Colgren right now from Politico. He's joining us to talk about why farming remains one of the most dangerous professions in America. And Ian, you spoke with a woman at the beginning of your piece whose father had been in the recent past killed in a tractor tip-over accident, and she was one of the people who was not interested in more regulations. She saw a connection between kind of survival and poverty and more regulations. What did she tell you?
Yeah, so the woman I talked to, her name was Deborah McCroskey, and she lives in the southwest corner of Virginia, not far from the Tennessee border. Very hilly country, and her father was killed when he was clearing the side of one of the hills on their farm, and his tractor rolled over. But she, like many farmers, was not supportive of these safety regulations. Fearing again that the, you know, encroachment of government on farms, and the more requirements you add on, and the harder you make it for farmers to succeed, the more are going to go out of business. That's especially been a concern in her area of the country. It was former tobacco land, and the farmers there really have not found another crop to replace the revenue stream there. So I think before anything else, many farmers, including the one I talked to, are just concerned about survival and making ends meet.
Now, we've talked about some of the deaths that happen at high rates on farms. Injuries are even more common. And I'm wondering how that high rate of injury from farming accidents affects some of the issues that we see and we talk about in rural areas, things like poverty and depression and isolation. How does that have a factor there?
Oh, absolutely. It's all kind of interwoven in you know, the bigger fabric of healthcare in rural America. And when people are injured, I mean, first of all, many injured farmers keep working and, you know, insist on working when they really should not, just because I mean they have to, a lot of them, if they're really depending on their farm for income. But already for these people personally, you know, in rural areas, it's a different kind of community fabric than in cities, because there are not as many, you know, common spaces or spaces for people to get together. And so it's very easy for these people who are injured to be cut off from their communities, which can really erode quality of life very quickly. And that's the focus of a small but kind of growing agriculture department program to help injured farmers to be able to, you know, live normal lives and be a part of their communities, you know, and not just their farms, but, you know, their broader communities.
And Ian, we just have 20 seconds left, but is there anyone out there beating the drum calling for maybe more regulations or ways to improve safety on farms?
In Trump's America, no, there is not. Certainly no one who could immediately change anything. There were some efforts in the Obama administration. Even those didn't really get off the ground. And I think for the foreseeable future under this administration, federally, we're not going to see anything. There's certainly states like Minnesota and Washington State especially that have made some changes. But federally, I don't think we're going to see anything for quite a while.
Ian, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Ian Colgren is a labor and immigration reporter for Politico. Join us to talk about why farming remains one of the most dangerous professions in America.